I love these guys.
Welcome to the Secondhand Lions. John Drennan here, along with my friend Bill Radford, longtime Detroit Lions fans. And we're coming off the bye week and coming up against the Minnesota Vikings. Bill, a couple things from last week. First, I want to clean up a couple things. We both talked about how the Thursday night game last week was going to be the Steelers-Packers. It was actually the Chargers-Vikings, I believe. The Steelers-Packers were Sunday night, but we wanted to clean that up. Also, I was referring to Amik Robertson as Robinson a couple times, and I think I got confused because there is a Jamie Robinson now on the roster who's a D-back. So anyhow, we do our best to keep the name straight. But hey, with that, last week I was traveling and mentioned I was in Toledo, Ohio when we did our Thursday podcast, and mentioned, Bill, that you said you were playing injured because you got the shingles and you're still playing injured, I understand. So I want to go to you, and I think it's good time with the Vikings coming up to maybe kick it off with a same old Lions story as it relates to the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, John, one of my most memorable stories is the Vikings beat the Lions something like 16 times in a row. That would be twice a year, every year for 8 years. And in 1971, I would have been, 15 years old. My brother would have been 11. And the Lions were finally going to beat the Vikings. They had been behind 14-13. They had the ball last. They drove it down the field, and they were going to kick a 33-yard field goal to win the game with just 4 or 5 seconds left in the game. My brother and I were standing up in the living room in front of the TV. He was kind of bouncing up and down, you know, so excited that the Lions were going to win. And they lined up to kick the ball, and Bobby Bryant of the Minnesota Vikings came across the line of scrimmage and blocked the kick with his face. And when that happened, when he blocked the kick, my brother just collapsed to the ground, to the floor, and started crying. I ran outside in a fit of rage. I picked up my bicycle over my head and threw it down on the driveway. So to say that I was affected by the Lions is an understatement. So there's been a lot of torture over the years with Detroit and Minnesota. But during that time where they were losing 16 in a row, that was just torture.
Well, I tell you, so we are a good team here because I do know that we lost all those games in a row. And I know there were a lot of heartbreakers with Minnesota, but honestly, I can't go back and tell you about any play. And that's what I love about doing this with you, Bills, because you got such a memory for so many of these games. But maybe that's not a good thing given how many examples like that. I know I never felt compelled to like go pick up my bicycle and throw it, but I'm sure I was watching that game in 1971. I was actually a freshman in college. I gotta believe I was watching that game, but I certainly knew about it. Anyhow, I wonder if any of our listeners, Bill, in 1971 were at that game or remember that game. Or are saying to themselves, no, I wasn't born yet.
Yeah, well, it was painful, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, folks, we're coming off the Tampa Bay game of two Mondays ago where, you know, the Lions were incredible. We talked about that last week and how the patched-up defensive backfield played such a great game. And we got some news here this week. Maybe start out with We're hearing different things on who might be coming back from the Minnesota game. Of course, Aleem McNeil made his presence known against Tampa Bay. But there is talk of, and I don't know the latest, Bill, but I've heard talk that Rodriguez is back practicing, and there's a chance we see him Sunday. There's a chance we see Terrion Arnold. Brian Branch, of course, he's back from his one game suspension. Not sure about Kirby Joseph. One of these weeks, we're going to be hearing about Davenport coming back and others. So, have you heard anything that I didn't just talk about?
As far as people coming back, no, you pretty much covered it.
Okay. It is exciting.
One of the things that I just saw this morning, and you said you did as well, is the Lions signed Hutchinson to a 4-year extension, which is good news.
Yeah, and the details on that, it's $180 million over 4 years, a little bit less money than what why do I have a brain?
Micah Parsons.
Thank you. Micah Parsons signed for it, but he's got more guaranteed money. So that seems like the trade-off. And that's good news. And I was reading later, Bill, just a little while ago about how Brad Holmes and the Lions are working this out with these guys to pay this money because it's over time and a lot of the money's guaranteed in later years when they know they'll have a bigger cap. And so they're going to keep cap space and they should be able to continue to sign these core players because they got a lot of them. You know, we didn't have that issue back in the day, in the days of the same old Lions, because we couldn't rattle off so many great players on a roster at one time. Anyhow, Bill, you also shared with me something about a study the NFL did on best draft picks. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, the study indicated that the Lions, I think, basically since Brad Holmes has been there, have done the best job of drafting of any other team in the NFL.
Yeah, and they have some way to figure that out based on performance, but you know, I hadn't heard that, but hearing it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, you look at their roster and the players who have stuck, and so many of them have either been Pro Bowl or on the All-Pro team. So
we also saw that, and I forget the gentleman's name that does the show, but he's a regular. He has a TV show that talks about sports all the time, and he was talking about Jared Goff. Every offensive coordinator that works with Jared Goff gets a head coaching job. And you know, they when people talk about Jared Goff statistics, they say, well, yeah, look at his offensive coordinator, that's the reason. But when your offensive coordinator looks great every time he's with Jared Goff, there's a reason for that. Jared Goff is a great quarterback. He's completing 75% of his passes. And over the last 4 or 5 years, statistically, the last 3 years at least, statistically, he's one or two or at the worst three in every major category.
Yeah, and that's really interesting because it does go both directions, you know. Is Goff making the coordinator or vice versa, or is it just kind of they do it together? I think back to all those years, Bill Belichick and Brady, you know, they were both called the GOAT, but who was really making the other one look good? And certainly they both contributed, but Brady was for sure the GOAT. And the guy you're talking about, I think Colin Coward.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Bill, before we get into the game coming up against the Vikings, we'll talk a little bit about that. But, you know, we are 8 weeks in, coming up on week nine. Of course, the Lions have played seven because they just had their bye week. But we're getting close to halfway point. Hard to believe. I mean, there's 17 games played, and this week is the halfway point to 18 weeks. So we're coming right on that halfway point of games played. And so I think it's a good time to reflect a little bit. Let me ask you, this season, seven games in, what's maybe the most memorable game or thing that's occurred with the Lions this year in your mind?
Well, I would say two. One is Gibbs. He has just been better than last year. And last year he was spectacular. He has become the feature running back. Montgomery is not getting nearly as many snaps as Gibbs. Even though Montgomery's averaging 4.7 a carry, which is good. But a lot of that was from one game where he gained, I think, 151 yards. When you run for 76 on one play, your average tends to go up, which Gibbs has had some of that as well. But Gibbs has been nothing short of spectacular, as far as I can tell. And so that's memorable. And the other memorable thing I would say is that Hutchinson has come back good as ever. You know, there's always a question when you have an injury that severe, how you're going to play when you first come back. And I think you mentioned last week that he's leading the league in pressures. So
yeah, by a pretty wide margin.
Right. So he's at the top of his game, and glad the Lions signed an extension with him. But so those would be my highlights in terms of personnel, Gibbs and Hutchinson.
All right. Well, I gave some thought to the question, and to me, it's the defense, and specifically pointing to two examples. I never imagine them sacking Lamar Jackson seven times and basically containing him and slowing down that Ravens offense. Now, I know the Ravens aren't doing well this year. A big part of that is Jackson's now been out for a few games. But still, when the Lions go to Baltimore in game three and have that performance, and then just last week against the Bucs, the defensive backs, you know, again, a patchwork group. I mean, these guys all deserve to be on the roster. They're NFL players, but I don't think anybody anticipated what we saw them do against the Bucs and Baker Mayfield, who had his worst game maybe ever as a Buck. And I think a lot of that had to do with the D-backs. Certainly the pressure up front helped, and the linebacker play helps. But that's been, for me, very memorable. And kind of the flip side, a little bit memorable, I just think the offense hasn't been what it can be. I mean, I think we're going to have some offensive fireworks coming up here in future games, and hopefully starting with the Vikings.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. I think that a lot of credit for that defensive performance goes to Kelvin Shepherd and Dan Campbell, but a lot of credit also goes to Brad Holmes for stocking the team with depth. A few years ago, 2 years ago, when we were 12-5 and got to the NFC Championship game, depth was a problem. If somebody got hurt, we didn't really have the people necessary to step in. And that was evident in the second half of that championship game when San Francisco ran all over us. But they've done a great job of having depth players, both as backups on the team and then backups on the practice squad as well. So I think, to your point, the defense has been good, even with injuries. And kudos to Kelvin Shepherd, Dan Campbell, and Brad Holmes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's trickled down. Kudos to these players. Everything we continue to hear about the locker room and the standards and the support, how the team all supported Brian Branch. He made a knucklehead move and he knows it, and he's going to grow, but the team just supported him big time, and I think we're going to see Brian Branch on fire on Sunday on the field between the whistles.
Yeah,
And
you talk about the locker room, John, and something came up on my feed this week of Aiden Hutchinson singing Billie Jean in front of the whole team when he was a rookie. And you just want to Google that. Other guys have sung, some guys have chosen to dance, and it just really creates a lot of team camaraderie. And I know that's Dan Campbell's idea. So, a lot of
yeah, and I
fun.
first saw that Billie Jean during the HBO Hard Knocks, when Hutch and Rodriguez were both rookies. And yeah, you can YouTube it or go back and watch if you did miss that year of Hard Knocks. That was really good. Well, how about this question, Bill? So those are some memorable things. What do you want to see going forward? I mean, we're 7 games in. So, what would you like to see more of, or something happen that maybe isn't or hasn't?
Well, you mentioned it that the passing game offensively hasn't been great. I mean, they're 5-2, which is good, especially considering the teams they played. They figure out how to win games a bunch of different ways, sometimes offense, sometimes running game, sometimes defense, sometimes special teams. Sometimes takeaways, they've done all of it, and they're 5-2, which, considering, as I said, who they played, that's a good record. But the offense is, I don't think, has really been hitting on all cylinders by any means. Goff is 75% on his passing, but I'd like to see Jameson Williams get going. He's done a good job blocking. He caught one touchdown pass in the loss against Kansas City that was really good. But overall, he hasn't been that evident. And the other guy I'd like to see get going is Tesla. I mean, he's made a couple of spectacular catches, but neither of those guys have been a regular part of the Lions offense so far this year. And I don't know what the reason is for that, if they're getting double coverage or if their other guys are open. I know that Goff tends to favor Amon St. Brown. He likes Laporta. He likes Brock Wright. He likes throwing to Jahmyr Gibbs. But it just seems that those two wide receivers, I don't want to say they're missing in action because they're doing other things that help the team, like I said, blocking and such, but it would really be good if they could start being getting 3, 4, 5 catches a game, both of them.
Well, I totally agree with those sentiments. I've heard different things. You mentioned Goff and his percentage. He throws mostly short balls, and I have trouble remembering many balls he's thrown over 30 yards, and the fact is he hasn't. Now, the thing I've heard is teams are playing their safeties deep because they're concerned about JMO. And they want to keep the game in front of them. They don't want to give up those long plays. And I totally get that you want to take what the defense is giving you, but I think that they need to be throwing, just to keep everyone honest, they need to be throwing some deep balls to JMO or Tesla.
Right.
So,
And that would help Montgomery because we talked about this last week. When Montgomery's in the game and Gibbs is not, they're putting 8 men in the box because they figure they're going to run. So Gibbs is a pass threat as well, so they don't do that with him.
Yeah, and Montgomery is also a pass threat, but it's in the more screen passes. So that's eight
Right.
men in the box. So you're right. And he's the third guy I want to see. I want to see more production. I want him getting more snaps, more carries, more yards, along with Jamo and Tesla, who you mentioned. The other thing, I just want to make this point after watching Tucker Kraft for the Packers having like a career night the other night against Pittsburgh, and where Laporta has had games like that, but it seems like one game Laporta, he gets five, six, seven catches and a lot of yards. Next game he might get two targets. But again, I think it's a case of the Lions taking what the defense is giving. But a couple other things I'd like to see, Bill. Their third down conversions, I heard a stat, they're 0 for 20 on third down conversions of 10 yards or more. Now, I get that it's hard to get a first down when you're third and 10. But they're getting these long third down situations and don't do well. And that doesn't seem characteristic of this team and these weapons.
I think that might have something to do, John, with the offensive line. I'm not saying they're not doing a good job, but they're not quite as stout as they were last year. So teams are able to rush the quarterback more effectively. I know for a spell there that Goff didn't, I think it was three games in a row, he didn't get sacked, but he's been sacked a few times the last couple of games. The Chiefs got to him. I know the Bucks got to him. And when he's not getting sacked, he's still getting pressured. So I think you're right. He's choosing to throw the ball to shorter distances. But back to Jamo for a second, you could throw him a 12, 15-yard pass, and he could turn it into 80.
Well, that's the thing. And the Lions do have, they're among the top in the league in yards after catch. And so I'd like to see Jamo just get the ball more. If it's
Right.
slants or if it's from pitches or handoffs, or just get the ball in his hands more often is. But I think we will see that. And you made the comment about, we've some games we've seen offense, some defense. I know teams aren't going to put all phases together every week, but I think we need a few games like that where the offense is clicking, the defense is clicking, special teams is good. And when that happens, we're going to see some routes in some, we're going to see some big wins here coming up, I believe. And then just one more thing I really want to see. I've already touched on it, but to me, it's substantial. Are as these players who have been injured start to return. We've hardly mentioned Josh Pascal. It seems to be a bit of a secret what's going on with him, but if he's able to return to the form he is at his best, he's a heck of an addition. Miles Frazier is a name we really haven't talked about. I'm not sure what his injury is, but again, he was, I believe, a fourth round pick from LSU, a guard. Who's, if everything I understand, he's of the same kind of makeup as Ratledge and Mahogany, a big, tough, hard-nosed offensive lineman. And then the other guys, J.D. Reed, or I didn't mention, or J.D. Reed, I mean, I think he's due to be back fairly soon. So. And Vodke, oh, I didn't mention him. I think Vodke's will be back for the, I think I heard he'll be back for the Vikings. He adds a lot to special teams. So, and I get that it's the NFL and as guys come back, others may be going down. I mean, that's the nature of the game. So, well, let's talk about the Vikings, Bill. What are you thinking about?
Well, it's I have mixed feelings because I really want JJ McCarthy to do well overall, but I don't want him to do well against Detroit. So he's been out a while, and Wentz is out for the season.
Yep, Carson Wentz, he went down. He got beat up like a pinata.
He did. So it's going to be McCarthy probably from here on out, unless he gets hurt again. And he may have injury issues. He's had two so far. One kept him out the whole season, and another's kept him out several games this year. So anyway, I hope the Lions don't hurt him so much that he's misses the rest of the season, but I hope they sack him about five times.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I really want to see him have a great career, just stumble against the Lions. But, you know, he's essentially a rookie, having sat out last year. And I think he's got a real uphill climb against this defense at Ford Field. It's going to be loud. It's going to be exciting. Brian Branch is going to be on fire. They got some of their other guys back. Aleem McNeil is going to be a week better than, or 2 weeks better than he was. I just think, it's not lost on me that JJ's got major weapons, maybe the best receiver tandem in the game, and, you know, a good running back, Aaron Jones, who used to hurt us when he was a Packer. I don't know much about their old line, but they're going to be good, but I just think it's going to be tough for JJ. So I hope he has his moments, but not enough of them that impacts a big Lions win. Hey, I want to give my score.
All right. I wrote mine down, so there's no cheating.
All right. Well, here's mine. Lions 31. Now, I get Minnesota has a good defense, but we've talked about the Lions offense has not been what it could be, and I think this could be that time, and I think that the defense will give the Lions the ball back enough for them to get in the 30s. I'm going to say 31-17. I don't think you hold the Minnesota to 9 like you did the Bucks when you got Justin Jefferson and Addison and the other weapons they've got. So 31-17 Lions, that's my prediction.
Well, mine is very similar, 37-23 Lions.
Oh, I like that.
So we have them both winning by 14.
How about that? Yeah.
I had originally thought 37-18, but when you started talking about all their weapons, I changed it to 23.
Well, and JJ's a playmaker and a stud, even though he's a rookie. So he may have a couple that just, you know, we shake our head and say, wow, and they may be in the 20s.
But, you know, you mentioned the noise. He played in Michigan. So 105,000 people, he's used to some noise and, you know, winning games at Ohio State. There was noise. Alabama, Washington. So I don't think the noise will bother him. But hopefully the Lions defense will bother him.
Well, that is a great point. It reminds me of a story I heard when Brady became a New England Patriot, and a reporter was asking, you know, when he got the starting job there, and a reporter asked him, what's this going to be like for you in front of these, I don't know, 65,000 or 70,000 screaming fans? He says, well, I don't know. I'm used to over 100,000. But it's not just JJ. Right? It's the impact the crowd could have on the entire team. That does seem to make a difference in the NFL, as it does in college. But we'll see. I'd rather have them at home this game, and we'll go to Minnesota later in the year playing the snow.
Well, there's a lot of games coming up with very good teams. After this, they're at Commanders, at the Eagles. Now, the Commanders aren't quite as good as they were last year, but they're still dangerous. The Eagles are a good team. Then it's the Giants are at Detroit, and the Giants are better than people expected, except now they've lost Scatabu.
Well, Malik Nabers went down too. I don't know how long he's out. So
Yeah, so
Scatabu's
maybe
out for
they'll
the
take a
year, it
step
sounds like.
back. Then the big game is Thanksgiving against the Packers in Detroit. And then the week after that, the Cowboys come to town, and they can light it up, but they can let you score on them too. So
Yeah, they don't do that well on the road. And who else did you who'd you say before them?
Commanders, Eagles, Lions, Giants, and Packers.
Yeah, okay.
And then
Well,
the
I'm feeling
Rams.
very comfortable with my they're going to win 3 out of 4 with that foursome.
Well, I hope you're right. I think that whether they go 13-4, 12-5, even if they go 11-6, they're going to make the playoffs. I don't
Well,
think
Bill,
11 and 6 it
put
will win the
yourself
division.
right. Put yourself in the shoes of any other podcasters for other teams or coaches for other teams, and they look at their schedule and they're saying, "We got the Detroit Lions coming up." I mean, what are they talking about? Like what are we gonna do? Like,
Right,
that's a
you're
tough
absolutely
one.
right.
That is a tough one on the schedule. Now the Chiefs kind of figured it out, and I kind of dismissed game one with the Packers because that was kind of like an exhibition game, I think, looking back. But I don't like how the Chiefs kind of figured it out that game. But I wouldn't mind facing them in the Super Bowl because I think that'd be a whole new duel.
Yeah.
And I
Well,
can't wait. I'm looking
what you
ahead,
just
Bill.
said, John, about
What's
other
that?
teams looking at the schedule and seeing the Lions on the schedule. I just think that when your team is ahead, you're always afraid they're going to catch you. And when you're behind, you're always afraid you're not going to catch up. So I mean, I know you're not, but I'm a hockey fan, and the Red Wings are 7-3, and I was watching them against St. Louis last night, and they were ahead 4-2 in the third period, and I just knew the St. Louis was going to get 2 goals and tie the game. They didn't. Lions won, or the Red Wings won 5-2, but I just think that's your tendency as a fan is to think that the other teams are going to outplay you for some reason. But I think with the Lions, we can rest assured that 9 times out of 10, we're going to have the best team on the field.
Yeah, that reminds me. You know, I've mentioned my sports background is more in basketball. I did play varsity football in high school, but played some Division III basketball, and then I coached. And the question that came up a lot: would you rather be up one without the ball, with let's say, 10 seconds left in the game, or down one with the ball? And you kind of, and I know every game's different and that sort of thing, but you kind of need a philosophy there. And mine was, I always want to be ahead. So I'd rather be up one without the ball. But then you look in football, like playing a team like the Chiefs, you say, well, I don't know if I want to be up one or two with a minute to go and the Chiefs have the ball. And only need to go 30 or 40 yards with Mahomes. I think I'd rather be behind at Mahomes with the ball. So, but I
You know,
hear
it's
you.
interesting, John. I remember Bud Grant, the old Vikings coach, was asked a similar question. He said, "Would you?" They asked, "Would you rather be up four, and the other team has the ball, first and goal inside the five, or would you rather be down four with the ball inside the five?" And he said, I always want to be up. He said, I would rather be up with them having the ball first and goal at the one and to be up by 4 points.
Well, there you go. And by the way, Bud Grant, former Viking coach for years. I think when you said the Lions lost 16 in a row, those might have all been to Bud Grant, or a lot of them. But that may be a good segue to wrap this up, Bill. Do you have another same old Lions story as it relates to the Minnesota Vikings? Why don't we wrap it up with that?
Monday night game. I was in high school. I don't remember what year it was. The Lions were playing the Vikings, and it was in Detroit because they didn't televise it way back when. That was how they did things. So I listened to it on the radio. The Lions lost that game 16-13, but they had two field goals, one touchdown, and they missed five field goals. So Errol Mann was 2 for 7. If he was 4 for 7, they win the game. So that just felt like the same old Lions, that they were going to do whatever it took to barely lose to the Vikings.
Wow. And for our younger fans, because now, if you live in the Detroit area, you're going to see the Lions. But if you live in New Hampshire like me, you're not. You're going to see the Patriots unless you pay for the ticket. So I'm going to drive an hour to Buffalo Wild Wings this Sunday to watch the Lions. But back in the day, Bill, they had what's called a blackout. If you didn't sell out the seats, they wouldn't televise locally. That was to create more ticket sales. And Bill, I remember certain companies might, you know, it'd be down to, there's still 400 seats. Maybe a company would buy them all up and everybody in the area loved that company for a week. But the Lions were bad enough that they didn't sell out very often. So it was very frustrating to not be able to get the home games locally. No more blackouts in the areas you live. Hopefully. All right. Well, Bill, before I wrap it up here, anything else you want to say here this week coming off the bye and going into a home game with the Vikings?
I don't want to say this is a must win, but it's very important. With the teams we have coming up on our schedule, this is one of the quote unquote easier games. So hopefully, coming off a bye, everybody's rested up, they're ready to go, and we'll go out there and score 35, 40 points.
Well, let's hope so. Again, there, you never know. There, none of them are easy, and this is a good roster, a really good coach, and a good history with this team. So, but I'm feeling good about it. For our listeners, we are Bill and John. We have a website, the SHL, which stands for Secondhand Lions, the SHLpodcast.com. You can go there and learn a little bit more about us and what we're doing here. And you can go back and listen to it. I think this is our 14th podcast. We started the week of the kickoff game for the season back in July. So if you like what you're hearing, share us with other Lions fans. There's a lot of them out there. So with that, we look forward to coming back next week and talking about what happened on Sunday. Take care.
Bye now.